Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Thanks a lot, Mark, and thank you for listening to this podcast at HoustonTexans.com. I'm Drew Doherty. Paul Kaharsky of ESPN.com recently huddled with Nick Scherfield of HoustonTexans.com, and the two discussed the upcoming matchup between the Texans and the Colts.
This is Nick Scherfield of HoustonTexans.com here with Paul Kaharsky, ESPN.com, AFC South blogger. Paul, we appreciate you joining us. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We saw you here at the Texans-Titans Monday Night Football game. It was a raucous atmosphere here at Alliance Stadium, very physical game. Of course, Texans couldn't come away with a victory. Coming out of that game, what are your thoughts about the Texans and their postseason aspirations?
Well, I wonder about their emotional strength remaining. I mean, those two games, the losses to the Colts and the Titans in games that they felt like they could have and should have won or at least gotten into overtime, I think it has to be awfully draining for them. So I have a feeling they either bounce back huge and pull the upset and hand the Colts their first defeat, or kind of show that they're spent and don't have a very good effort and maybe get beaten badly. I'd be surprised by anything in between, I think. But that's just me, and I don't know the personality of the team as well as people who are around those guys day by day, but I think there comes a point where you have to kind of throw up your hands and think, you know, what do we have to do to pull one out? And if too many guys have reached that point, maybe it's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's the offense has been playing well, and the defense has, you know, held both the last opponents to 20 points, which is, you know, you think we'll give them a chance to win. What do you attribute the Texans' struggles at the end of games to, not being able to finish games?
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I think some of it's a mentality. Again, I think you just you have to break through once, and when you do, then it kind of becomes contagious, or it shows the whole roster that you can do it. But until you have done it in one of those big situations, you know, there's always the element of doubt as to whether it can be done. And the answer in the last two is obviously easy to point at Chris Brown, the Chris with a K. I talked to Vincent Fuller, the Titans nickelback, after the Texans game, and I said, you know, kind of, what are those guys missing in the other locker room? And he wasn't trying to be funny. He was just being factual. He said, they're missing field goals. You know, and the fact of the matter is, you can't guarantee that they would have won either of those games if they got it to overtime, but you sure would have liked to have seen them have a chance and see what they do, and he's hurting them badly, and they need to get him back on track. But I suspect that when you look back at the Texans' 2009 season, those two missed kicks are going to rank as two of the biggest plays.
Well, we got Peyton Manning and the Colts coming in town, undefeated, of course. Peyton's having great numbers this year, as he always does. But from your time watching the Colts this year and from talking to people with the team, do you get the sense that Manning is playing as well as he ever has right now?
Well, he's dropped off the last 4 weeks. Surely he's carrying them. They are more reliant on Peyton Manning than any team is on any player in the league. He's made receivers who probably wouldn't be great on other rosters, like Pierre Garçon and Austin Collie, look very good. They don't have much of a running game, and it's not much of a factor in their being 10-0. And so all those things obviously work in his favor. I think, you know, he's right there in the top three of the MVP conversation. But I do think in the last month, when they've won their games by a collective 10 points, I think, you know, he's not played as well, and they've not played as well. And they hope to break out of that against Houston, and Houston hopes, you know, maybe it goes the other way and then finally the Colts don't get all the breaks at the end and find a way to lose.
How impressed are you that the Colts, through all their injuries in the secondary, are still able to end up making enough plays to be undefeated right now?
It's very impressive what they've done defensively, and they're way too underrated defensively, particularly with the biggest statistic there is, and that's in terms of points allowed. But the secondary stuff, you know, it was established pretty early that both Jerrod Powers and Jacob Lacy were going to get a lot of time. and they played well right from the beginning. So I'm not that surprised about that. It's obviously shown great, great depth in the secondary, and that's significant. You know, Bob Sanders is a bonus at this stage of his career. If you can get anything out of him, they got two games out of him. And Melvin Bullitt, his replacement, is a very fine player, and an underrated player. Tywan Hagler, the linebacker that went out, you know, there's not that big a drop-off replacing him. And, you know, defensively, they've overcome a lot. The new coordinator, Larry Coyer, deserves a lot of credit. They're more aggressive. They're less predictable. And that may be the most underrated piece of one of the best teams in the league that we're going to see. You know, the Saints are a sexier story. They're new at this. Their offense is explosive. Their defense has a new coordinator and has a lot of interceptions and the like. But I think the Colts' defense is every bit as impressive, really.
We were talking about Peyton Manning a second ago. I wanted to ask you about Matt Schaub. He was having a pretty good season himself with 300-yard passing games. You've seen him a couple times this year. How close is he to being considering that elite quarterback group in the NFL?
Well, he's not going to break into the Manning, Brady, Roethlisberger trio unless the Texans, you know, surprise everyone and go win a Super Bowl. But I think he's very much established himself as a guy in the next tier there with somebody like Phillip Rivers. You know, I think he's still got a lot of upside. His health was a big issue coming into the season, and he hasn't had anything set him back there. Obviously, we still need to see how they solve the loss of Owen Daniels, and I don't know that they've quite figured that out yet. Like Manning, you know, he's not had the support of a very good run game this year, which I think is really the most damaging thing, and maybe makes what he has done all the more impressive, because they've not been able to hand the ball to anyone reliably to get a clutch yard. You know, and we talked about the one Chris Brown costing them games. The other Chris Brown with the C, you know, with his goal line struggles, cost them another one or two. So, you know, I think his supporting cast still needs to get better. It's disappointing that they couldn't score more than 17 against the Titans team that's given up a lot of points and been thrown against. But I think Schaub is gaining respect, and there's a guy who gets, you know, some of his notoriety out of fantasy football. So for some guys, that's not a good thing. You know, Maurice Jones-Drew made a smart play kneeling down at the goal line, and too many people want to talk about how it affected their fantasy teams, which I don't really care about. But in terms of Matt Schaub as a fantasy player, a lot more people in the country know what he's doing and how good he is because he's scoring points for them. And in that regard, it's a good thing.
So I'm going to ask you one quick question about the other two teams in the division, the Jaguars and Titans. You cover the AFC South, of course, every team, and you've seen them all play this year. The Jaguars are at 6-4, but they haven't made a lot of noise around the league. It doesn't seem like they're getting a lot of recognition. Do you think they're for real?
I think this weekend's going to really tell us if they're for real, because last time they went to the West Coast is the one time they lost to a bad team, and Seattle dismantled them. So now they travel to San Francisco on Friday. This is a big game for them against a team that they should beat. If they can go to the West Coast and weeks later have kind of learned some lessons from that last trip and win and get to 7-4, I'll be very impressed with that. But, Nick, they've got a tough road. You know, people are trying to paint like some of these games aren't going to be that tough. Their four-pack after that are the Texans in Jacksonville, the Dolphins in Jacksonville, the Colts in Jacksonville, and New England at Gillette Stadium. Now, the Colts and Patriots could have their playoff fate sealed up, but even so, that's a heck of a four-pack. And I think to come out of that 2-2 would really be impressive. 1-3 probably more likely to finish at the Browns. So they've got a chance. And if they got into the playoffs with their talent, it would really be impressive. I wrote this week that I think Jack Del Rio deserves some Coach of the Year consideration.
Also, question about the Titans, a team you've covered for a long time for the Tennessee and Nashville. What do you think? Do you think they have a chance to win out and make Chris Johnson's prediction of a 10-0 finish come true?
I don't. I just think it's it's too much to ask, and they've got some tough games remaining. Starting with Arizona this week, you know, and they've had some trouble against big quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And during this four game winning streak, you know, Matt Schaub is the best quarterback they faced, but they also played you know, David Garrard and Alex Smith and Trent Edwards, and those guys are hardly Kurt Warner. They've still got the Cardinals on Sunday, a rematch with the Colts, and games against Miami and San Diego. I think it'd be very difficult for them to win all four of those, and another loss would in all likelihood be the end of them. I do think a 9-7 team could get in, but I doubt it would be the Titans if they got to 9-7 based on the teams they've lost.
All right, Paul, last question before we let you go. We were talking about the game earlier and a couple of different outcomes you could see for the Texans game this weekend. If I had to hold you to a prediction for the game, what do you think it's going
to
be?
Yeah, I hate to disappoint, but one of the beautiful things in my job is that I don't have to predict winners and losers. And honestly, I know a lot of people don't get it, but it's very liberating because if you pick a game, you want to look smart, and you end up rooting at the end of a close game for the result that you picked instead of just sitting back and seeing it unfold. I will not be surprised if the Colts come out of Sunday 10-1. And I also won't be surprised if the Texans get blown out. So a very intriguing matchup. You know, the Colts really needed to win two of these three. It's going to be disappointing to settle for one of these three, and if it ends up none of these three, you know, it's time to start writing the postmortems, obviously.
All right, very diplomatic answer. I like it. Thanks a lot, Paul, and we enjoy reading all your work on ESPN.com, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Nick. Good to visit.
Take care.